If you will take your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We'll get into the message this morning. I do ask for you to be praying for me, that God will always just keep me right in the middle of His Word, keep my thoughts and my opinions out of it. I do my best to, if I do give you my opinion or my conviction, I do my best to tell you that that's what it is. I always want to be right in the middle of God's Word otherwise. But I do ask for your prayers this morning. I'll be just as brief as God will allow us to be. And I would say we'll go home, but we're going to have a business meeting after service this morning, so it won't take but just a few minutes. If you feel like you don't want to stay for the business meeting once we have our invitation, I will ask you just to hang on until after invitation, and our church is really good for that. The invitation is the most important time of the service. It's a time where people are listening for God to speak to their heart, or God is speaking to people's hearts, and they have an opportunity to do business with Him. But can I just go ahead and say that this altar is open right now? If God's already speaking to you and you need to do business with God, if you get up and come to this altar right in the middle of my preaching, it won't bother me a bit. If I get real excited, I may jump over you or something like that, but it won't bother me a bit. I'll never miss a lick. With God's help, I'll never miss a lick. And if you need salvation, don't ever wait. Once you realize that you need salvation and God is speaking to your heart, don't ever take the chance of slipping out into eternity without accepting Christ as your personal Savior. But be in prayer with me this morning as we get into the Word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for all Your many blessings. God, I just want to thank You for this opportunity that we have to be in Your house, God. God, I pray that You'll help me as I preach this morning, God, to stay right in the middle of Your Word, God, not to get into my thoughts, my opinions, my concerns, or anything else, God, but always right in the middle of Your Word. God, I pray, dear Father, dear Lord, when we leave here, that we'll be a little closer than we were when we came in. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know You as their personal Savior. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." How many of you believe that we are in the last days? Amen. I do. I believe that really and truly the last days started when Jesus Christ was born on this earth. From that time, there has been a way made out for sinners to come to know Jesus Christ, but there has also been a falling away from Christ. There has also been the apostasy. There has been people choosing to walk away from Christ. And I believe that we are in the last days. I'm 37 years old, and from the time that I was born and was able to begin to hear my dad preach, I can remember him preaching about being in the last days. I can remember him preaching about perilous times shall come. And going through this scripture and talking about, we can see examples of this and we can see examples of that. One thing that I'm sure of is that today I stand 37 years closer to God coming back than I was the day that I was born. I don't know when it's going to be. I think it is only by the mercy and the grace and the love of an all-righteous God that He has not already come to get His church. I believe that He is just having mercy for one more to come to know Him as their personal Savior. But I know that we are in the last days. Let's see the signs, or let's see what's going to be going on in the last days, or what is going on in the last days. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Yeah, I can see that. "Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Amen. Hallelujah. I see that one every day. If y'all can't laugh at that, you can't laugh at nothing. Come on now. "Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." For just a minute, I want us to go through a couple of these things. One of the first things that hits me is in verse number 3 right here, when it says truce breakers, or people who are irreconcilable. My way is right, your way is wrong, and you're not going to change my mind. Can we not see that in today's society? I mean, we've got, not to get political, but even on the political side of it, you've got the Democrats on this side, the Republicans on this side, and nobody is willing to meet anybody in the middle. It's just, I'm right, you're wrong, we're irreconcilable. But you know what? It's going further than that. It's coming into our families and into our churches. It's going all over, that people think that my way is right, your way is wrong, and I am courageous enough to tell you on Facebook how wrong you really are. That's what we're down to. People are irreconcilable. They won't come together for anything. False accusers. are slanderers. We'd rather talk bad about our brothers and sisters in Christ than to take their name to God in prayer. We had rather find fault in our brothers and sisters. We had rather talk about what they're doing wrong and how much better we are than they are. And we'd rather talk about that with our neighbor in the form of a prayer request or saying bless their heart afterwards. We had rather do that than go to God and say, God, I know that I'm nothing but a sinner. I know that I've got my own faults and my own mistakes. And God, if anybody deserves punishing first, it's me. But my brother is struggling. My sister is struggling. And God, would you go speak to their heart? That's not where we're at. We'd rather slander than to do that. Incontinent or without self-control. People are not even able to control their own actions. They're not able to control what they do day in and day out. Fierce or brutal. Despisers of those who are good. Christians, if you can't feel that in the day that we're living in, there's something wrong. Christian people are being attacked. Christian people are being looked down on. We are considered to be haters. We are considered to be people who are not willing to put up with anything outside of what we believe. And that is so not right. The only thing that I believe is that I know the truth. This is all I believe this morning, is I know the truth. And I'm not saying that I abide 100% by the truth, but I still know what the truth is, and we cannot waver from the truth. Despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady or reckless, don't care about the consequences, high-minded or haughty. Now look, this last one we're really not going to like because it says lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And the first thing we want to think about is lust. The first thing we want to think about is worldly, fleshly desires. But can I tell you that when my pleasure that I have out here in this world, and I'm not going to get into all of it, whether it be coaching a softball team, whether it be hunting, whether it be whatever I do, when that pleasure becomes more important to me than my time and my relationship with God, can I tell you that I am living in sin? I am in a place to where my pleasure is more important than God's pleasure in my life. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, if you notice, I skipped over one in verse number 3, and this is just going to be for a really good example. It seems to be really just something that is at the forefront right now in our society. It should be at the forefront of our mind as Christians in our prayers, in the forefront of our mind as Christians as we look at what's going on in our country, and in our lives. But the Bible says, without natural affection. Now, I'm trying to show you this morning that we are living in the last days. I'm trying to show you this morning that we're living in a time that God says that it is going to be a perilous time. It's going to be a troubled time. And here we have in chapter number 3, verse number 3 of 2 Timothy, the Bible says, without natural affection. Can I tell you this morning that I believe that life begins at the time of conception? I believe that life in a human being believes at the time of conception. It is not when it gets a certain age. It's not when that fetus gets a heartbeat. It's not any of those things. It is when, at the time of conception, is when life begins. Don't be afraid, church. Hey, don't be afraid. We need to stand for what God says in His Word. Now, I know that this morning, even as this is going out on Facebook, that there's probably somebody going, I don't agree with that. That's okay. You don't have to agree with me. We just got to agree with this. All right? Without natural affection, I believe that life begins at the time of conception. Now, let me go ahead and throw a disclaimer in here. I do believe that there are some exceptional circumstances when women are raped, when people are molested, when things happen beyond their control. I believe that there is still some very prayerful thought that needs to go into any decisions that's made. But for the remainder of this point of the message, I do realize that there are things that happen that are out of people's self-control. But let's talk about this for a minute. I believe that life is at the time of conception. I believe that it is not natural. Now, we're talking about natural affections. Without natural affection, I believe that it is not natural for a woman to take the life of her unborn baby. I believe that it is not natural for a society to approve or applaud that it is now legal to take the life of an unborn baby. I believe that it is not natural for dogs and cats to have more rights and more sympathy than unborn children. That's where we're at. We're in those last days. We're in a time that people are looking and they're changing. They're not changing God's word. They're changing how they're going to abide by God's word. You will never change God's word. This will stand till the end of time. God's word will always stand. I believe that we can see a great example that we are living in the last days. In verse number 3, it says, without natural affection. I cannot understand how anybody could do that. I cannot understand how any Christian could say that they feel like that that's okay. Preacher, you don't understand. You don't understand how this baby is going to change my life. Sure I do. I have 3 of my own that have completely changed my entire existence, but they have completely blessed my entire existence. I believe, listen, I do believe that there is such thing as pro-choice. Now look, before any of you get up and leave, let me explain myself. I believe that there is a pro-choice. I believe that every woman should have the right to choose whether or not to enter into relations with a man that the outcome could end in pregnancy. You have the choice whether to have sex or not. Amen. Let's just put it bluntly. I tried to put it real pretty in my notes, and I thought I was going to leave it there, but y'all didn't seem to grab that, so let's just put it real blunt. I believe you have a choice whether you're going to have sex or not. Now, once you make that choice, then the outcome of that is no longer your choice. The outcome of that is no longer yours. My guess is that 8 out of 10, this is my guess, my opinion, my guess would be that 8 out of 10 abortions are probably requested by people who are already participating in extracurricular activities outside of the boundaries that God has set before us. That would be my guess. They're already outside of God's boundaries. They're already outside of what God has said. This is what this is created for. This is for a marriage. They're already outside of that. And then the consequence comes, and then they think they have the right to choose. But can I tell you that the Bible says without natural affection is a sign of being in the last days. And I believe that that is something that is on the forefront, that is in the front of our minds that we have just experienced in the last couple of weeks. Isaiah chapter number 5, verse number 20. I didn't give this scripture to Shannon. Isaiah chapter number 5, verse number 20. Let me read this to you. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Does that not sound like the days that we're living in where good is evil and evil is good? And we are definitely living in those last days. And Christians, we definitely need to be in a place that we are willing to take a stand, that we are really willing to stand on moral issues, on biblical issues, that we are willing to stand for God's word, that we are willing to put ourselves out there a little bit, not set back and let the world go by, not set back and let them change whatever they want to change. Now listen, I believe that we have a responsibility to stand, but we definitely, according to God's word, we don't have any responsibility to hate. We have no responsibility to take action. We have a responsibility to stand on behalf of God's word and stand on behalf of biblical truth. And see, we all look this morning, and I believe that if we were just a little bit more rowdy this morning, that we would have a little more vocal agreement on what I've had to say. I believe we would have just a little bit more of a, but instead, we're living in a society where that's not acceptable to agree with this position, to where it's not acceptable to agree with that. We live in a time and a place where we're afraid to stand. We live in a time and a day where it's not the going thing to be different. It's not good to stand on God's word. Everything is changing, preacher. Not everything. Everything's not changing. And see, as we're sitting here this morning, as we see that we are in the last days and we have a problem and that we have something going on, we've still not talked about our biggest problem. We've still not, you know, as we're sitting here this morning, we may be thinking, yes, I can't believe that this went on. I can't believe that we are sitting in this position. I can't believe that this is going on. But can I tell you that that is still not our biggest problem? That is still not our biggest issue as Christians? That is still not what we should be fighting for the most? I want to show you what I believe we should be fighting for the most. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 13. Listen to this. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Yes, there is some awful things going on in our society. There are some awful things going on that is pointing and giving us the indications that we're living in the last days. But can I tell you what we need to focus on more than any of that? I don't even like saying it because I don't want to belittle the importance of what we were talking about. But more than deciding whether or not abortion should be legal, more than deciding whether or not the definition of marriage, more than all that, you know what we need to be focused on as a church? That there are more people dying and going to hell than there are people going to heaven. I tell you what, we'll jump on a bandwagon sometimes and we'll get to the place that we want to talk about abortionists, that we want to talk about this is wrong, that this is bad, and I can't believe that people are doing this, that we want to jump on a bandwagon that homosexuality is wrong, and God's word says it and I'll stand on it. But I want to tell you that the heart of the problem is not all of those things. The heart of the problem is that people are lost, they're dying, and they're going to hell. And we as Christians rather jump on a bandwagon and talk about all of those things than to get out here and point others to the cross of Christ. That's where our heart should be. That's where our love should be. Yes, we need to stand on some of these issues. We need to be at a place that we are willing to say that sin is sin, that wrong is wrong. But I want to say to you this morning that me doing the things that I do wrong is no worse than anything that I've mentioned already this morning. That me doing the sin that I do in my life is no worse, that Jesus Christ had to go to that cross for my sin, just as he did someone that's having an abortion this morning, just as he did as somebody is entering into a same-sex marriage this morning, that my sin put him on the cross just like those sins. And I need not to forget where I come from. I need not to forget that only by the grace of God am I a child of God this morning. That only by the mercy of God that I'm forgiven this morning. And instead of jumping on some bandwagon and instead of some going out here and dogging everybody else, I need to be thankful unto God that he forgave me of my sins. And then I need to get out here and tell others about Jesus Christ and the love that he had for him on the cross. I'm telling you. We want to get to the place that we want to point fingers. We want to tell others, man, I can't believe that this is going on. I can't believe that we're sitting here in a church this morning, that we're saved by the grace of God. I can't believe that we would sit here and even think that we're one thing better than anybody else, that we're one thing better than someone that maybe is going through one of the acts that we've been talking about this morning, that we're one bit better than a heroin addict that's out here in the ditch this morning. We're not one bit better than somebody that's laid drunk all night tonight. We're only saved by the grace of God, and I'm thankful for the grace of God that come into my life, and I stand here ashamed because I have been in a place to where I had rather talk about all the things that's wrong than to point people to the thing that's right. We are in a place and a time. Yes, we need to stand. We don't need to sit back and let the world run over us. But more so than that, we need to show the love of God. Showing love and being accepting is not the very same thing. I love my children. But when my children backtalk me, they don't think that I'm accepting that right that very moment. I promise you, they don't. There is a difference between just saying, okay, we're gonna conform to you, that we're gonna compromise. There is no such thing as compromising with the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. More than we need to be, hey, listen, Facebook has become a tool, and it is a great tool in certain things. It is a great tool. You can put little, I love being able, when we have snow days, I love being able to get on there and put a little bit of scripture to the church and whatnot. Facebook can be a wonderful thing. But can I tell you that it can also be a tool of the devil? It can be something that Christian people get on there and they do. They feel courageous to call other people out. And it almost looks like hate when it comes across. Hey, the Bible is true. But do you remember being lost? Do you remember being at a time when people brought you a verse of scripture? Hey, some of you may have already been offended at what I've had to say this morning anyway. You may have said, boy, that was too straightforward. And I'm in a church full of believers. I'm in a church full of people who are like-minded. But I want to tell you something. You go and you put something on Facebook out there to a lost and a dying world, you may not be showing them the love of Christ through that. You may be pushing them away from the cross just as hard as you can. We got to be, and it's not just Facebook. But what about in our everyday life? Hey, we'll stand and say, oh, they're just a drunk. They're just a dope head. They're just a this. You know what? Put it all together and we're all just sinners. Some saved by the grace of God. That's where it gets to. It's amazing the lesson that Alan brought forth in Sunday school this morning. Man, it was just God saying, you're right where I want you. Because you know what? Sometimes when I bring messages like this, I'm going, Lord, why? Let's preach about victory again. I like victory. Let's just have a replay of last Sunday's message. Because talking about controversial subjects is not what I love to do. Talking about something that can have repercussions on us as a church is not something that I want to do. Talking about something where I think I may offend someone is not something that I love to do. But I want to tell you, we got to stand for the truth, but we got to stand in love while we're pointing others to the cross. Where would you be without Jesus Christ today? What shape could you be in without Jesus Christ? I could be a drunk. I could be a dope addict. I could have babies all over the country. There's all kinds of things that could enter into my life if not for the grace of God. And we look this morning, we got to be really careful that we don't look at another man's sin, another woman's sin, and that we think that we are the judge, or that we think that it is up to us to call them out on it. I believe we'd do a whole lot better calling their name out to God and saying, God, help in this situation. God, help. Because I want to tell you something, me calling them out doesn't show them love. It doesn't show them how much that Christ loved them. What it does is it pushes them away from the cross. But I want to tell you something. If I'll point them to the cross, if I'll point them to love, I'm talking about the one, the greatest example of love that there ever was. If I'll point people to the cross, look, there's forgiveness for anything that they've done there at that cross. There's forgiveness for abortions at the cross. Amen. I know, it sickens me to think about someone taking a life of an unborn baby. It really does. But if you've been there and you've done that, or for anybody who has, there's forgiveness at the cross. There's forgiveness for the drunk this morning at the cross. There's forgiveness for the dope addict at the cross. There's forgiveness for anything that you want to mention, and I won't go into it all because I don't want to bring any more glitter or glamour to sin, but I want to tell you that anything that you can think of this morning, there is forgiveness at the cross, and that sin didn't put Christ on the cross any more than me talking about my brother, than me stealing a little piece of candy, than me doing what... Hey, the verse that Alan read this morning, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, that sin put Christ on the cross just the same as somebody taking somebody else's life. If I'm guilty of that, I couldn't go to heaven. But yet Christ loved me so much that he said, I'll forgive you of that, and it's all at the cross. So yes, we do need to stand. I believe that we're in the last days, but you know what? It should be more pertinent to us as Christians to realize that yes, we're in the last days, and we see all of this evil going on, and we see all of these decisions going on that are pointing us to the last days. But instead of going, I can't stand this situation, and I can't do this, I tell you what, we should be more concerned and more concerned for our loved ones who are lost, who are dying and going to hell, because they don't have much time left to come to know Jesus Christ. Where are we at this morning? Had we rather bash our brothers or our sisters in Christ? Or had we rather stand and say, come on, I can show you where help is at the cross. I can show you where love is at the cross. Hannah, if you will, come on, get us an invitational hymn this morning. I believe with all of my heart that, yes, we are living in the last days. But I believe that more so worthy of us looking into than these situations. I know we got to stand. But even more than that, if we'll point others to the cross, look, the Bible tells us that these things are going to happen. And I'm not one of those people that just say, well, just let them happen because the Bible says so. But while we're worried about what's going on in Congress, or what we're worried about whether we're building a wall or not building a wall, while we're worried about whether the government shut down or not shut down, while we're thinking about all that, how's your neighbor beside of you stand with God? That man or that lady that's been good to you, how do they stand with God? You probably don't even know, because we've never taken the time to ask them. The Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Listen, for wide is the great gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Let me tell you how hard it is to go to hell. It is so hard to go to hell that you don't have to do anything to go to hell. The Bible says broad is the way, wide is the gate, and many there be that go in thereat. Listen, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Listen, all these political issues, all of this horrible stuff that's going on, yeah, we can't just sit back and let it go. But what we do have to do is we have to point others to the cross of Christ. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've never come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, we mentioned all those sins a minute ago that God would forgive at the cross. There's one that's unforgivable. There's one sin that God will not forgive. Whew, that must be murder. That must be beating your wife. That must be running around on you. No. You know, the one sin that God won't forgive is when you continually reject His Spirit and say His Son. The Bible calls it blasphemy. There's one sin. When you say no to God that last time, when you say, no, God, I don't need you. I'm not accepting salvation. That's the one sin that God will not forgive. And this morning, I want to ask you, do you know of a time in your life that you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your life? Do you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that if you died today, that you would enter in through the straight gate? Broad is the way, wide is the gate. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Preacher, I'm here this morning. I'm saved. I know without a shadow of a doubt that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But you know what? I've been tied up in a little bit into situations. I've been tied up into what's going on here and going on there, and I haven't been concerned for the lost. I haven't been pointing others to the cross. Preacher, I want you to pray for me that I'll refocus on what I should be doing. Would you just slip up your hand? Preacher, pray for me. See your hand, man, there is hands all over the church. You're not alone. Preacher, I'm focusing on the wrong thing. You can put them right back down. Preacher, I'm focusing on the wrong thing. I need to get my eyes off of everything that's going on in the world and know that my responsibility is to point others to the cross. Preacher, I'm here. I don't know that I've ever accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. For one, there is nothing that you've done in your life that God won't forgive you for. For two, the only thing you have to do is ask, God, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be Lord of my life. That's all it takes to become a Christian. But preacher, I'm here this morning and I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I've ever did that. Would you pray for me that God will just continue to speak? Give me another opportunity. Or maybe that today I'll get the courage and I'll accept Jesus Christ. Would you just slip up your hand? Preacher, pray for me. I see your hand. You put it right back down. Preacher, pray for me. I don't know that I've ever been saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. See your hand. You can put it right back down. Preacher, I don't know that I've been saved. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all these things, God. God, I pray that you'll help me. God, I'm so guilty of getting my minds on everything else and not focusing on pointing others to the cross. God, I pray that you'll help me. God, help me to have love. God, help me to be to the place that you get glory out of my life and that others can see the love of Christ in my life. God, I pray that you'll help us to always be what you'd have us to be. God, I want to thank you for the hands that was raised for us as Christians, God. Strengthen us, encourage us, help us. And God, for the ones that raised their hand that they were lost, God, I pray that you'll help them this morning just to step out and accept you before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name, amen. As you stand to your feet, Hannah's going to sing. If God's speaking to you, if you need to come and pray, maybe there's somebody that you know that's lost, and it's been a while since you've pointed them to the cross. Maybe you want to come and talk to God about it. Maybe you want to come and pray for them. This altar's open. If you're here and you're lost, please don't leave that way. Please make a decision to come and accept Jesus Christ.
There's a precious fountain free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever. shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond.